Her name was Stephanie, and we were on the last night of a 3-day women's retreat. All the other nights she had sat with us, but not this night. It was late in the service when I scanned the large crowd to see if she wanted to go down front to pray. Wait, I should go back to the beginning. Of all things, it was a restaurant menu that created an opportunity to share God's grace and love. I worked with an association that needed a place to meet, and as our pastor says, if we hadn't ate, we wouldn't have met. Well, this group likes to eat when they meet. And Stephanie was the server who greeted me that day in the restaurant. As I explained to her that our group had not been able to find a meeting place with a private room, she handed me the menu. Months later, after we had worked with Stephanie on several luncheons, I found out that Pastor was meeting with a men's Emmaus group at the same restaurant. He said that their server had been asking about their group, and he shared with her the Emmaus story. He said she was very interested. When Pastor described the server, I knew immediately it was Stephanie. We continued to spend time together, and we talked on a business level. I was getting ready to attend a women's Christian retreat, and I thought I should invite her. Much to my surprise, she said yes. When we glance around at our coworkers or we turn the news on, we see a world that is filled with dishonesty, violence, abuse, and evil. We as Christians should view the world through the eyes of Jesus. There he sees comfort where there is a loss. He sees forgiveness where there is a fault, and he sees the solution where there's a conflict. Our true happiness and humanity can only be found in our Savior, whose grace is always enough. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15 through 20, talks about God reconciling the world unto himself. Sin has separated the lost from their Savior. Reconciliation in the Greek means to make enemies into friends. In this case, God is wanting to restore his relationship with those who have turned away from him. God calls people from every generation to stand in the gap as part of Christ's ministry. We can do this by showing God's love to others, and it allows them a path back to him. The priesthood of all believers is a biblical concept that's important for us to understand the role of laity in the church. This concept allows us to realize the impact that can be made in all areas of our life, in our personal, spiritual, church, and in the world. We as believers are called to be priests, and we are also called to minister and to serve. Romans 6:34 tells us that in baptism we have been made one with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. One with him in his death, which means being dead to the guilt and the power of sin. And one with him in his resurrection, which means being made alive in him to live the new life that has been given to us. So this death and resurrection is not just a one-time thing. It takes place in our lives each and every day as a member of the priesthood of all believers. We die to our sins daily. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, Paul stresses the importance of our responsibility as an individual believer to live and to work together. He uses a comparison between Christ's spiritual body, the church, to the human body. He makes it clear that just as the human body is made up of a different parts, it remains as one unified whole. While each individual member of the body is incapable of carrying out the function of another body part, together they work for the good. Each makes its own unique contribution for the benefit of the whole body. This reminds me of a song. I think it goes like this. The leg bones connected to the knee bone. The knee bone's connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone's connected to the backbone, doing the skeleton dance. But if one of those members doesn't function, it affects the whole. As believers, God desires that we consider the needs of others before our own, and that we turn away from self-importance, pride, and jealousy. Also, we have been given by the Spirit our own individual gifts, and we should use those gifts for the church. Verse 26 emphasizes that when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. When one rejoices, all members rejoice. Clergy and laity share the responsibility and the privilege to be in ministry together, caring one for another. So now that we know that we are part of the priesthood of all believers, what is a priest? A priest serves as a representative between people and God. They share words of forgiveness and healing grace, as well as interceding on behalf of others. They are not only the ordained clergy, but any one of us who has experienced the love and the grace and the acceptance and the forgiveness of God. In the Old Testament, the priest served as a go-between God and sinful humans. The people approached God through the priest, and their job was to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. Jesus' sacrifice established a new covenant for eternity. No other sacrifices are needed. Jesus is our great high priest, and he is God's representative to us and our representative to God. Because the Word became flesh, we have a high priest who is able to identify with our weaknesses. He sacrificed his life for our salvation, and now he's the mediator between God and man. Peter reminds the church how valuable every member is to God. In 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 5, he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." This is who we are. We are God's people. When you act and show kindness or mercy, when you speak words of comfort or forgiveness, when you serve the least, the lost, and the lonely, you are the body of Christ at work. You are the priesthood of all believers. Just so you understand, the priesthood of all believers is about serving others. We serve others through the authority and the example of Christ, not our own. And as members of the body of Christ, we are to stand in the gap and be his physical representative to the world. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and the church is wherever we are, because Christ is in us. It's not about where we gather. It's about where we scatter to. The church is a community of faith. We are a people of God. The work of the church is when we make ourselves available to others by listening without judgment and comforting one another in their time of need. Each of you have something to offer in God's service. Your abilities are God-given. God has given his grace to us so that we can pass it on to others. We should always be looking for ways to be a channel of his grace. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we have been selected, called, chosen, blessed, and set apart for a very particular purpose, to proclaim the mighty acts of God. Making it known that God has brought us out of the darkness into the living light. And because of this, we should share and serve those we come in contact with. So this mission is to make Christ real for people by being a channel of God's grace while we proclaim the mighty acts of God. So what are the characteristics of this priesthood of all believers? Well, there's five. It's personal. It's spiritual. It's service-oriented, It is shared, and it calls for our best. The mission is personal when we share our individual experience with Jesus. It's personal when we look for daily opportunities to express this mission by letting others see how God has transformed our lives with His love and His mercy. We should keep it simple, be sincere, and above all else, just be ourselves. It's spiritual in that the Holy Spirit will guide us towards goodness and doing good in the world. Also, it will steer us away from wrongs, even when the world approves of it. God's desire for us is to live in the fullness of His grace and His mercy. We can learn from Jesus' example in John 13, verses 12 through 15. The scripture says, when He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." One of the greatest qualities of Jesus was His humility. He regularly placed the needs of others ahead of His own. He had a heart of compassion for people and a message of hope. This humble disposition of our Lord, who washed our feet, calls on us to go as His representatives, putting the needs of others ahead of our own. This is how we should live our lives, to serve others. This mission is also shared, and then it requires for us to work together as a team. And it's best done when the clergy and the laity partner together. God uses the efforts of each person in an equally important way. All are very unique and special. Hear the power in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave His one and only. What is your best? Back to Stephanie. Like I said, it was the last night of worship, and I looked around to see where she was, but I couldn't find her. I got concerned that she had slipped out. So after the service, the rest of us walked back to our cabin, and there she was, sitting outside on the picnic table. I could see that she had been crying, and I didn't know anything about her family situation or her background. But she began to pour her heart out to me. Some of what she said I wasn't equipped to respond to. She had been through some traumatic experiences, some that no young girl should ever have to endure. As she was talking, I asked the Lord to help me listen and just be there for her. We talked for hours and then we prayed for a few more. And I had no idea she needed the grace of God in her life so desperately. A menu was mine and Stephanie's connection, a place where she met our Lord. If we are willing to open our hearts and our hands, God can shine through us and make us the priesthood of all believers.